So, yes. So what we do is we do the addition first. So this ends up being 12 over 4. Now this one seems a little bit more, obvious, I guess, because if we're going to add two fractions, we just add the numerator, right? So we're going to do the exact same thing that we just did on the left side. We're actually going to add 7 plus 5, which is going to give us 12 over 4 also. And then these simplify to 3 is equal to 3. This is essentially the distributive law. This is what it looks like. So I'm doing examples with numbers right now. But when the distributive law comes in handy is when we're working with algebra and variables, because then we can essentially simplify our expressions. We can get rid of the brackets if there's brackets in our algebraic expression or equation. Right? So let's move on to our next part here. So when we do the distributive law with negatives, so this is a negative 6 here, and we have negative 6 multiplied by 12 minus 7. So in arithmetic, subtracting a positive number or adding a negative number is the same thing. If you have 1 minus 2, that's equal to 1 plus negative 2, right? So what we do if we're using the distributive law when we're dealing with negatives is we change everything so that it looks like this, so that all of our main operations are addition, and then essentially distributing 6 over this expression here is a little bit easier, because then we know where the negative signs go. So this side here, we have negative 6 in brackets multiplied by 12 plus negative 7. So if we're going to use the distributive law in this case to distribute negative 6 over the two elements in here, what it's going to look like is this. The next line, I guess I can make this an equal sign. So this is equal to, and we're going to use the distributive law and make this expression 6 times 12 plus, negative 6 times 12 plus negative 6 times negative 7. This way we keep all of the negatives where they're supposed to be. Anyways, let's finish working this equation out. So who can tell me what negative 6 times 12 is? Right there.
Negative
72. Negative 72. Good work. Plus negative 6 times negative 7. What's that? 42. Positive 42, right? Because two negatives multiplied together gives a positive. Then this whole expression becomes equal to?
Negative 30.
Negative 30, that's right. I could do this in the regular order that Bednis would have us do it in. I can simplify this expression first, the 12 plus negative 7 first. So we'll get negative 6 times 5. And negative 6 times 5 is actually equal to negative 30. So again, we get the same answer, just to illustrate that the distributive law does work. Okay, great. So let's move on to collecting like terms. So we're going to start moving into examples where we're going to be using variables in our expressions now. Before we start into a lot of algebraic expressions and equations, I just want to go over some terminology here first, okay? So if I say the word term, I'm referring to the part of an expression that is connected only by multiplication or division. So each of these things right here are terms, because they only involve multiplication and division. These two include multiplication and division involving variables. So these two terms have variables in them, and this one doesn't. But they would all be considered terms on their own. Okay? This, however, is not a term, because we do have multiplication here, but what it's being multiplied into is another expression that involves addition. So that's not a term. So let me write out a little bit of a more complicated one here, just up top here, or actually I'll write it to the side to keep with our examples here. So let's say we had 5x plus 3y minus 2 is equal to 7. Something like that. Yep.
5x and 3y would be a term.
Yep, so this would be a term. This would be a term. This would be a term, and so would this. Anything that's separated by addition or subtraction that only contains multiplication are each term. So this is a term, this is a term. So that's what you might see in an equation, something like that. So that's terms. Now, I remember what I was going to say. These two terms at the end here, they don't have a variable in them, so they're what are called constant terms because they don't change. Because we could substitute in certain values for x and y, but those values aren't determined yet, so these two terms are still variable, they can still change, whereas these ones are constant, they'll never change because they don't involve a variable of any kind or anything like that. Okay? And then like terms are terms which contain all of the same variables, but they might be multiplied by different numbers or divided by different numbers. That's not written in here. So I have as an example here, 2x, 3x, and 12x. Those are all like terms because they all contain one copy of x. Whereas down here we have 2a squared, 4a, 6b, and 10. None of those are like terms. The 2a squared and 4a, those are not like terms. And the reason why is that they contain the same variable, but they don't contain the same number of that variable. This first term, we could rewrite it as 2, and I'll write the multiplication with dots just so we can see it. 2 times a times a, and this term is actually 4 times a. So it's important to realize that these are not like terms. They both contain a, but this one contains an extra a that's multiplied in, and that makes it a different term. So the reason that we need to make sure we differentiate between these is because when we're working with algebraic expressions, we can combine these, if they're the same, if they're like, into one term using the distributive law. Yep.
Well, I don't get it. If 2x and 4a, like, if 2x is a like term and 4a is not like term, how's that possible? Just go take a
variable. Can you say that again?
Okay, so, like, if you say 2x is a like term and 4a is a not like term, how's that possible?
So, let me clarify here. Like terms, you have to be referring to like a set of terms. So these three combined are like terms because all three contain the same variables. If we tried to make a group of any of these two, if we tried to group 6b and 10 as two like terms, that's not true. Whereas with this one, we could make any combination of these two being like terms, or all three are like terms. Yes?
So 6b and 8b would be like terms.
Yes. So if we added, per se, to this list, 8b, well, then we would have a pair of like terms in this set, and it would be 6b and 8b, because they contain the same variable. When we collect like terms, you use the distributive law, but we're going to do it in the opposite direction of expanding. Instead, we're going to take a factor out of each term. And I'll show you guys how this works. So let's start with this expression here. So what in here are like terms? Can you tell me what are like terms in this expression right here? Yep, so that's one set of like terms, and I'll do a squiggly line under each of these. So those are like terms. And 10 and 15. And 10 and 15, and I'll put a box around those so we can differentiate. So this is one pair of like terms, and this is another pair of like terms. Each pair contains the same variable and the same number of variables in each term. So does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to rearrange the equations so that our like terms are beside each other. So it's a little bit easier to see. So we're going to have 5a plus 3a, 5a plus 3a, and then plus 10 minus 15. So I've just switched around the numbers in the equation so that our like terms are beside one another, yes?
Would it be 8a minus, plus 95?
Yes, and that's what we're going to see here. So In collecting like terms, so remember with the distributive law, you multiply everything inside, every term inside the brackets by the outside number. So we're gonna go backwards and I'll show you how this works. So our next step is going to look like this. So it's going to be that. And then what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna put this in brackets just so we can kind of tell the difference here. So what we can do then, well, we know that by the distributive law, 5 plus 3 all times A would equal this term up here, right? If we just kind of look at this column. These two expressions here are equal, right? So we're essentially working backwards, and what I've done is, you don't necessarily need these brackets at the end here, but I've just kind of grouped them together just to kind of so you guys can visualize which terms are like terms. So this is our next step. So then what we're going to do is we're going to do the addition and subtraction in each set of the brackets, and it's going to give us a much simpler answer than what we started with. So 5 plus 3 gives us 8a, this is going to end up being a minus 5. So what I'm going to do here, guys, I'm going to write a few exercises on the board just to make sure you guys are comfortable with using the distributive law when it involves numbers and variables. So A was 5 times the whole expression x plus 3. So we can use the distributive law here to get to remove the bracket to multiply each of the terms inside the brackets by 5. That gives us 5x plus 5 times 3, which is 15. Does everyone understand that?
Yeah.
Yes. Who can explain to me what's happened here in part B?
They did 4 times 3 minus 4 times n plus 2 times n plus 2 times 4.
Right. So this part, remember, is a little bit tricky because there's a subtraction sign here. So you have to make sure you end up with either it being a positive or negative in the end. Make sure that that's the right one. In this case, negative 4n was correct. That is what the term would be, because it would be positive 4 times negative n, and that gives us negative 4n. Then the like terms were collected, so 4n and 2n were like terms. Sorry, negative 4n and positive 2n. So we add the numbers in front together. We add negative 4 plus 2, which gives us negative 2. So those terms coincide. And these terms here also coincide. Positive 12 and positive 8 add to give 20. Okay? Part C. So here again, we've collected like terms. We have positive 12x and negative 4x. We combine the two numbers in front and we get 8x. 12 minus 4 is 8. So 3y plus 2y. We combine again the numbers in front and we get positive 5y, because positive 3 plus positive 2 gives positive 5. Okay? Last one, part D. So we apply the distributive law to each multiplication here. So we have 4 times A minus B times that whole expression, which becomes 4A minus 4B. 4 is multiplied by both A and B inside of the brackets, correct? Similarly over here, we have 3 times A plus B. So 3 gets multiplied into each element inside the brackets. So 3A plus 3B. Now, and then after that, we collect like terms. Again, we have 4a and 3a, both positive, gives us 7a. And negative 4b plus 3b gives us negative 1b. So they've written this like as negative 1b. Another way that you could write this would be just minus b. So 7a minus b. And we can actually get rid of the 1 if we want to. Either one is correct, though. So it's not a problem if you want to write it this way, if that's easier for you. Because I did mention earlier that keeping all of our negatives in brackets helps to clarify what's really going on in the situation. So just a couple more things here, and then we'll actually be right onto the problem set already. So what I want to show you guys is maybe a little bit of the logic behind why the distributive law works. So we have, in brackets, 3 plus 4, all multiplied by A. What would this give us, normally? 7A. Now, But you guys know from multiplication, when you guys first learned multiplication, multiplication is essentially one number added together the other number of times, right? We could actually write this as A plus A plus A plus A plus A plus A plus A. Right? But again, we can look at this here. We can see that we could regroup this into two different groups. And we could get 3A plus 4A. Which, this is just our distributive law, right? A number outside multiplied by an expression where two numbers are added together, you just multiply the outside number, which is A in this case, you multiply it into both numbers inside of the brackets, so we get 3A plus 4A. So this is the distributive law here that we've just written out. So this term applies to this term, to there. So I guess another way that you can think about the distributive law is if you have, you know, B plus C all times A, if you have something like that, well, this is just B plus C copies of A, right? Similar to how we wrote it up here, this is just 7, this is just 3 plus 4 copies of A, and this would just be B plus C copies of A, and that's kind of why our distributive law works. So B copies of A plus C copies of A, right? So hopefully this helps you kind of visualize why the distributive law works, why we can do this. So let's go back to our arithmetic trick. And we're gonna see how the arithmetic trick that we tried at the beginning works using algebra. So we're gonna let A and B be integers between 1 and 9, and we're gonna represent our two numbers between 11 and 19 as 10 plus A and 10 plus B. So A represents a number from 1 to 9, and B also represents a number from 1 to 9. So these are our two numbers between 11 and 19. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to use the steps that we used for the trick with these two numbers here, and we're going to see how that works. So we're going to take the units column from one number and add it to the second number. So what would the units column from this number look like? Right in the front here? A. Because, well, 10 doesn't have any units, it has 0 in the units column, right? And we know that A is actually a number between 1 and 9. It's not even a two-digit number. So we can just take A from this number and add it to the second number. So we're going to get, for step 1, we're going to get 10 plus, I'm going to try to get the colors here, plus A plus B. Okay? Then we're going to multiply this whole result by 10. So we're going to put this in brackets. 10 plus A plus B all multiplied by 10. And then for step, so this is actually step 2. And then for step 3, we're going to add this result to the product of the two ones digits. What's the product of the two ones digits?
A
times B. That's correct. Again, A and B are the ones, essentially the ones digits of these two numbers, right? The ones column. And then we're going to add A, B. So this is what our result should look like right here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to use the distributive law on this expression right here. So we have one expression in brackets multiplied by another expression in brackets. So this is going to be a little bit more complicated than multiplying one number by two things in the other brackets. What we're going to have to do here is, do you have an answer?
Is it like 10A, 10 plus 10A, 10B?
What we're going to do here, and I'll show you guys how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in steps, okay? So first what I'm going to do is I'm going to treat this thing right here as one number for now. So if we're talking about the distributive law, and I'll write it up here again really quick here. So A times B plus C to AB plus AC. So I'm going to treat this number as this A term up here. So what this is going to look like is we're going to have A times the first number, So this entire expression in brackets, 10 plus a, all multiplied by 10. And then we're going to add this to, again, our first number, all multiplied by b. Does that make sense to everybody? So we've treated this number as just one solid number, and we've multiplied both terms inside this set of brackets by that number. So 10 plus a all times 10, and then 10 plus a all times b. Okay? Now we're going to apply the distributive law again to simplify each of these expressions. So the first expression is going to end up looking like 10 times 10 plus, so that was this section right here, 10 plus 10, and then we're going to have 10 times 10 plus a times 10. Then our second expression, we're going to have 10 times b plus ab. So we now have four terms, 10 times 10, a times 10, b times 10, and ab. Now here's where the real trick comes in. So I'm going to collect like terms, but I'm not going to collect them like you guys would normally collect like terms. What I'm going to do is I'm going to realize that this term, and this term, they all have a multiple of 10 in them. So we can use, again, the kind of the reverse distributive law to take that 10 outside and combine all three of these terms into essentially one big term. Well, semi-term, because remember, this isn't actually a term. So these three terms that I've squiggly underlined here are equal to 10 times 10 plus a plus b, and then we'll have our little plus ab on the end. So what I've done is I've taken the 10 out of these three terms and written it outside and put those three terms in brackets, what remains in those three terms, right? So if I did the distributive law for this, now this again has two addition signs inside of it, so you guys haven't seen that before. You haven't just seen the distributive law with two signs in it, but it essentially works the same way. The outside number is still multiplied by each number inside the brackets. This phrase would be equal to 10 times 10 plus 10 times a plus 10 times b. For each term inside the brackets, we multiply 10 by that term if we were going to expand this. So we've gone in the reverse direction, so this is a little bit difficult. But you'll notice that this phrase right here, well, if we go back to the previous page, that's just this right here, 10 plus a plus b all times 10 plus ab. We have the exact same phrase. So what we've derived our formula that we created, or that I told you at the beginning. So this little trick, we've taken this expression right here, we've moved all the numbers around in this expression here to show that this is true. And again, you could retrace all our steps that we went through, and we still get the same answer. So we've proven that this algebra trick that we know works for the numbers from 1 to 19, or 11 to 19.